Let's open our Bible this morning and let's read together John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And faith, what does the Bible say? Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by reading. Faith comes, yeah, we read, but the best way is to speak it out loud. Faith will come by hearing, and your own ears, your own heart will hear. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, let's turn for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Just want to open with this particular scripture today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure," oh yes, "in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Boy, I like this next part here. "We are," what? "Troubled on every side, yet not distressed." We are perplexed. Sometimes you're like, boy, I sure don't know what to do here. We might be perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Thank you, Jesus. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. You could go right over to Romans 8 and look at chapter verse 11, and you can see the same Spirit that raised him from the dead can do what? Quicken my mortal body. Hallelujah. Verse 11 here, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made," what? "Manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." We, you and I here, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So we could say, "I believed, and I acted. I did something." You see. So I believed. The devils believe, but they don't act on confessing Jesus. We believe and act on the word of God. See? Hallelujah. So faith is something that's positive. It's up, it's never down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is in the New Living Translation. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Hallelujah. So we're talking today. I want to take some time. I'm continuing from the last time that I had a message I was entitled, Living Faith Speaks. So we're talking about the Word of God, something that I believe. And so I'm going to do what? Speak. I'm going to release these seeds that are full of faith and power. I'm going to release those seeds. I'm going to release them what? Out of my mouth. And as I speak them, yes, I'm speaking them out into this atmosphere, but I'm going to tell you where they're going to get planted, right down in this heart. As I meditate on it and speak it and hear it, faith grows in where? My heart. Hallelujah. So let's take a moment. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Continuing to talk about faith. Hebrews chapter 11. What did I say? I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11. Excuse me. And verse 1. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. Did you get there yet? Most of it just falls right open there. It says, now faith is the what? Substance. So let's just stop there for a moment. So faith has substance. And it's the substance of, stop right there, of. What's it say? So it's the substance of things hoped for. You know, I thought about that, and I've meditated on these things for a long time. Individuals have shared, I know Pastor Sarah has shared on this sometimes, Pastor Clinton has in years past. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, this is why the devil fights people. They start out in faith. Yes, bless God, I have it. And there's confidence. And that confidence works from their love of God. So it's real. But faith, if hope goes away, faith has got nothing to give substance to. Faith is the substance of. So if I take the of away, it had got nothing to give substance to. And so this is why the devil works at people, works at people, works at people who've started in faith and confidence to get discouraged. And they keep going on and on and on and on. And they say, well, I don't know, maybe it ain't working. Just maybe it's not working. I looked up this word discouraged just in the regular dictionary. It says to deprive of courage or confidence. So when somebody gets deprived of that, you just, you know, somebody who's in pain, somebody who's suffering, somebody who's in a big jam, and this goes on and 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 on, month after month, year after year. Somebody could possibly become discouraged. No, that's just the reality. But the Bible, see, who's the father of faith? Abraham. And so when I go over and I look, see, he's an example, is he not? Now, when we look at, you don't have to turn it, I'll read it. But when you look at Romans chapter 4, it says, he did what? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So we've got to know that God is for us. And if we've planted perfect seed in perfect soil and water it, and we maintain this living communion, it has to bear fruit. It must bear fruit. The key is in this living communion to find out direction from God. Is it not? Because it will bear fruit. If you just keep saying, this never works for me, the government's against me, I don't have this, everything I do, it just seems like everybody's against me, well, then they will be. Who's your source? The government is not our source. Pastor Clint said this years ago, and you know, the longer I live, you know, it could come to pass. The government, see, some things that we don't share, things that, and maybe if you read a lot, you can see it. But where nonprofit organizations are concerned, I'm not getting political here, I'm just telling you facts, where nonprofit organizations are concerned, there's more and more coming about, and the government looking for money. They've hired hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of analysts just to look into nonprofit, finding ways to get money. And so if they get to the place where they just say, you know what, no more giving on your, you know, no more refunds on your giving. See, because it could come to that. But you've got to make up in your mind that the government's not your source. That's just a nice benefit. That's wonderful. But you've got to be convinced of the word of God that if I sow into this ground, I'm going to reap some 30, 60, and 100-fold, and don't matter who or what, it's going to grow. And I'm going to prosper. Amen. And that's no different whether it's money or health. I don't care what doctor tells you. If you confess the word of God and you stand on it, I'm not saying don't take medicine. I'm saying be led. Be led by the Holy Ghost. But that medicine is not what heals you. It may control the symptoms. But you keep feeding and you keep planting and you keep watering, and that symptom's got to go. Your body must respond. It's seed, it's perfect seed in perfect soil, and it will produce what God has breathed into that seed. It is the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that true? So it must produce. So don't lose hope. That's one of the things that I said, boy, the challenge, you keep coming to your mind, this is not working, this is give up, throw in the towel, forget about it. And that's where the fight is. And you've got to hold steady. Hold steady. Hallelujah. It must change. Your circumstances must change. I was sharing with Pastor Jesse this morning. And we were just chatting when he came in. He said, you got anything on your mind or thinking about? And I said, no, just let the Lord use you. Which he did. But he was just sharing, and I really appreciate some of the living examples of sharing and things that he's journeying through with his garden. But I just thought about it. We were just chatting. I said, you know, like what we just read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I said, now if you just think about that regarding your garden, I said, we have the word of God, but you and your garden, you had to go find out, first of all. See, now, hope, he could have desired a garden. He said, you know, I think I like to have a garden. That's not biblical hope. That's just desire. I want to do this. So he desired. Now, that kind of hope can come before faith. Biblical faith can't come before, a biblical hope cannot come before faith. Faith must come first. And because I have faith, I expect something to come to pass. My faith, my confidence gives substance to my expectation. I expect it. Why? Because I'm confident. In who? God, whom I love. So, just in his example, in order for him to expect fruit out of his garden and have that kind of expectation, he had to first find out what he needed to do. He had to get some instructions. He had to find out how to do a garden, how to make it, what were the ingredients he needed. And when he followed all of those, he went to the store, got his stuff, did this, blah, blah, blah. Once he did that, he had faith in the instructions to produce that. And he could what? Have hope. He could have a expectation that I'm getting fruit out of this garden. See, it's no different. Once we get this in our heart and faith comes, I expect results. And what I have to do is not let the outside forces stay. I've got to continually say no. See, we can all take the opportunities that come. And all of us walk through them every day. You and I walk through them. And we just have to say, no, I'm not accepting that. I'm not, no, I've already released my words. I believe it. And it is coming to pass. And all of the thoughts that bombard our minds about this isn't working, so forth and so on. Now, I will say this, because I lived through this. I was releasing words. This is one experience I had. This is why being led by the Spirit of God is so important. You feed upon the word, you release those words, and when faith comes, you expect it. I was releasing words regarding something that was going on in my body. This is 14 years ago. And after a year, I did not see significant change. But it didn't matter. I'm in pain, so much pain that I could, you know, it was difficult to even exist. I would stand at this pulpit in pain, sing with the choir, never missed, in pain, all the time. So, little by little, over a period of about a year, the symptoms started to get a little worse, but it didn't bother me. I was convinced that it was going to change. But I also, at that time, started to get a little prompt, go see the doctor. And I didn't. I ignored it. I said, I'm standing. But I was getting a little nudge, go to the doctor. I'm standing. And I did that until, you know, you hit a brick wall. And so I did go. But even in that, I was led, because seeing the doctor, they wanted to put me on all this kind of stuff. And I said, I got a leading to go, but this direction and this, I said, nope, it's wrong. So I never went back. So ultimately what happened was, it was a nutritional thing, which, left unattended, got to this state. But it took nutrition and some things just to turn it around quickly. Within about 2-3 weeks, took 6 months to just completely go away, but within 2 weeks, that's all it took. But you know, I'm standing. And the Holy Ghost knows a whole lot more than we do. And that's why sometimes, see, if I had, because this is what happened. I came back from vacation with my family. We're in Vermont. I'm in pain. I'm standing in the shower when I got home. And the Holy Ghost, you know how you are. You're just standing there, not really thinking about anything. And I heard right down here, real soft, if you don't go to the doctor, you won't see the end of the year. It's July. And I started going, see, July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months. Now, you would think I would have changed course, but I didn't. I kept going for another 2 weeks, finally, until the light bulb went on. That was the Holy Ghost. I think I should go to the doctor. So I did. But what I'm saying in all of that is that we move in faith, we go in a direction, faith is there, but be led also. Don't override your confession. Don't override things that there may be a correction somewhere. You understand my point? So we operate in faith. We live by faith, but we're also led by the Spirit of God. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now that word things, let me just share this. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit enlightens something, 2 Peter 1:3, you can just jot that down. I'm going to read it for the sake of time. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, but
His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What? Through the knowledge of God that hath called us to glory and virtue. So what are these things that have been given to us? Healing, health, prosperity, wisdom. And we can go on. Peace. So they've been given to us. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. So I can expect, when faith is there, I can expect healing in my body. When faith is there, I can expect peace. When faith is there, I can expect prosperity. And it's been given to us. Now, when I was sharing before about hope, this, I took the time just to meditate on this a little bit in 1 Corinthians 13. We're talking about, just shared this before. In that last verse, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Verse 7, and we're talking about faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, this faith that worketh by love, this is Galatians, faith worketh by love, Galatians chapter 5, and verse 6. But when you look at verse 7 in 1 Corinthians, it says, I'll read it from the King James. But there's other translations that are also enlightening. It says, love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. See? And love endureth all things. So when this love relationship is maintained, out of that, our faith works. And that love that we have beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And it's out of that that we can have confidence. And that this faith gives substance to. See, we can expect. Let me read this in the J.B. Phillips translation. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. It says, love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It can outlast anything. It is in fact the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. This love stands. So there's no fading of its hope. This is the New English Bible. There is nothing love cannot face. There's no limit to its faith. So it's out of this love that our faith works. It's out of this love that we believe all things and hope all things. And our faith can continue to provide the expectation, you see. And it doesn't fade. It doesn't fade. The complete Jewish Bible, love always bears up, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always endures. The New Living, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Hallelujah. So the circumstances that we face, don't let hope fade. Don't let hope fade. See, I'm going to use this garden that Pastor Jesse's planted. He doesn't think about, because he's done everything he's supposed to have done, read everything, and because of that, he has faith and expects faith in the information and expects fruit to grow, expects to go out at some point, reap a harvest. And so, because of that, he doesn't go to bed at night worrying about whether there's going to be fruit in the garden, whether it's going to grow, whether it's going to come up, whether it's going to bear fruit. He don't think about it. I wouldn't. Do you? Anybody have a garden? You ever go to bed, wake up in the middle of the night, go out and look and see if it's still growing? Do you dig it up and see, is anything working? No, you don't. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So when we have faith that's working out of this love that never fails, that always believes, that hope is never fading, out of that, I believe God. I'm trusting him, have confidence. And out of that, I'm expecting something to change. I'm expecting it. And because of that perfect seed put in perfect ground, it's growing in the unseen realm. In the realm that we can't see, it may be in my body, you can't see it growing. You can't see it working. The spiritual is affecting the natural. And it's driving out sickness and disease. My words released are changing my economic condition as it is yours. But if you don't release the words, I believed, and that's about as far as I went. If you don't release the words, you don't plant the seeds, you don't reap a harvest. And so God has been stirring my heart that this season that we're in, some of us have planted seed, and we're still expecting. You will reap if you faint not in due season. Don't lose hope. Don't let hope go. You keep that stirred up. You keep your faith stirred up. Maintain your worship of God. But if you haven't planted seed, or you're in a place where you're discouraged, know this, that if you've done everything that you know to do, and you absolutely are convinced at this point, keep steady. Keep steady. Keep steady. One thing that we know, faith and fear are at the opposite ends of the spectrum here. But they have one thing in common, don't they? I'm going to share this. Can anybody think about what they have in common? There is something common about faith and fear. They both ask us and expect us to believe in something we can't see. Faith wants you to believe in something you can't see. So does fear. Fear is believing in the unseen, and so is faith. And they both will produce. So faith and fear have something in common, that they both expect us to believe something that we can't see. I'm going to believe in the Word of God based on my love and relationship with God.
and I'm expecting something to change. This is the Moffat's translation. Now, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. The Worrell translation. Now, faith is an assurance of things hoped for, a sure persuasion of things not seen. Hallelujah. So, one thing, let's look at verse 2. I'm going to continue here after verse 1 in Hebrews. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So out of this faith, this confidence, and my expectation, I'm doing what? Framing. I'm framing my life. I'm framing my world. So let me ask this question. You know, when you think about this, this is why it's important to feed on this. When discouragement comes, you know, discouragement can exist over a whole region. Discouragement can range over a nation where people are just discouraged. They don't see any hope. No way out. We're stuck. And evil spirits can influence. Influence what? Your mind. So that what you do, you start talking. You yield to that and you start what? You release words that give it power. You start framing a world of discouragement through your words. And so that's why, let me ask this question. Can a people frame a world, frame an environment where there's prosperity and healing? Absolutely. Can I frame that in my own life? Yes. Can I frame that in a region? Yes. That's why when we have unity one with another, and there's strife, lack of strife, and arm in arm get together, we can begin to affect an area, pushing back the darkness. That was one of the things the Lord spoke to me a number of years ago when we were in Pennsylvania. He said, if you'll just come and worship me in this area, I will push back. I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area. So when darkness holds sway in an area, there's all kinds of evil work and confusion. And so as darkness gets pushed back, people see hope. People see the Lord. They can see that they need God. They can begin to see that God loves them. You see. And that's why it's so important that when individuals go into areas, I know, we were riding through an area recently. I wasn't really even paying attention. I was driving Pastor Judy somewhere, and I'm driving through this area, and we both said at the same time, my spirit went, oof, what is that? I'm just driving, and it's on. Ooh, what is this? She said, where is this? And we looked up and I said, my God, this place needs prayer here. And if I told you the area, you'd know it. And if I told you the area, there's discouragement.
And it's exhibited in the natural. And it's spiritual. And when those forces press upon the people, then the people despair. And so we who are spiritual recognize it, need to pray, and out of this love of God and love for people, need to hook up and pray God's word. Pray and expect Him and worship Him. Expect Him to move on our behalf and change this area.
Amen.
Change this region. Change your home. Some folks might say, you know, that's wonderful for the region, but my home is a mess. My relationship with my husband or wife isn't good. Well, how are you framing your world at home? How are you framing that? With what kind of words are you saying? What are you releasing? And so I'll just share this, that in order for us to move into, let me say this, we've all heard faith in varying settings and varying degrees. We're all at different levels of faith. But to get to this another level, change has to occur.
Amen.
Change has to happen. You know this. In order for growth, there has to be change. And so any kind of growth doesn't require God to change. We have to change. If we want increase, if we want more productivity, more fruit in an area, we have to change.
Amen.
We have to do what? Examine ourselves and see, what are we doing? What are we saying? How are we conducting ourselves? And, oh God, I want, help me. Well, He's already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of God. And so we have to, as they say, dig in. We've got to examine. I'm doing with me. We've got to look at everything in our life and say, okay, God, where do I need to change? Help me. And if we're doing everything we should, then stand steady. Hold steady. It's going to change. It's going to change. Say, it's going to change. It's going to change in my life. It's going to change in this city. It's going to change in this county. It's going to change in this state. You see, the things that have held sway and have gripped the people has to change. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if we don't like the conditions in an area, we have the Word of God to change it. And so it's up to us. It's up to us to change conditions that we're confronted with. The Lord prompted me with this yesterday. He said, stop. You know, so often we say, yeah, speak to the mountain and it'll move. Sometimes, when we're confronted with a mountain, how many have talked about the mountain instead of speaking to the mountain? I don't need to see any hands, because every single one of us sitting in this room have talked about the mountain instead of speaking to the mountain, because it's just because. Because we all, out of just reaction, we react and we go, oh God, up, 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 and we start talking. And we start talking about the mountain instead of finding out what we should say about it and to it. And the Lord checked me a couple of days ago and said the same thing. He said, "What are you saying about that?" I said, "Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I've been talking about it and not to it." We all are faced with things in varying situations, but we all have to, the principles are the same. The rules of the game don't change. We all have the same rules, and we all have mountains that we face, just different kinds, different degrees, but the rules of the game are the same. And we have to not let circumstances control or dictate. Don't let it talk to you. Don't let it speak. Get quiet. Listen to some faith tapes. Just listen and feed and feed and pray. Don't let the thoughts overwhelm you. We're the overcomers. Hallelujah. Let's make, you know, when we're talking about living faith speaks, and living faith makes professions. And I think it's a good idea sometimes to just stop and make a profession of faith. And so let's just take a moment and do that. Let's make a profession, a few professions, and let it register on your heart. Say, "Father God, I am an overcomer. I am born of God, and I overcome in this world. Your word is seed, and as I speak it, it's planted in my heart. And I thank you that it's growing even now and shall bring forth fruit in my life. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid sickness and disease in my body. Every disease, every germ, every virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. My bank accounts are full. And because I am a tither, I can expect the windows of heaven that are open unto me. I thank you that I shall never go hungry. I shall have more than enough in my bank accounts. My life is prosperous." You know, take the time to profess what the Word of God says. It'll begin to stir your heart up. And as you do that, that's just something simple. You just go around and begin to say the Word of God. And as you continue to say it, faith comes. It'll strengthen your heart when you're confronted with things. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This body is His temple. And no sickness or disease can reside in it. "Yeah, but Pastor, it does." What are you framing? Faith is the substance of things expected. It's the evidence of something not seen. I'm expecting my body to function normally. Yeah, but it isn't. I'm expecting my body to function normally. Yeah, but I'm expecting my body to function normally. And I speak to it, and I speak to it, and I talk to it, And as I do, this seed gets down here, and because of that, it's working, it's growing, it's maturing. And little by little, that thing is going to bear fruit, and the living Word of God is going to drive and change the symptoms. It has to. And so the same conditions apply. The same rules apply where your finances are concerned. If I sow, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So as I'm directed, as I give, What did Dr. Larry Hutton say? We're not droppers. We're sowers. We release words of faith. And those words of faith that are released, I can expect change. You know, when the Lord prompted us to call in $80,000 a week here, he directed us to call in something in faith for something that's not coming in. It's not seen. But if you keep saying it, and you keep releasing the words in faith, it's got to come. It must change. Faith-filled words change things. And so I continue to, we continue to say it, expecting it to come. Now, how it comes and through who, that's not our responsibility. We release the words in faith, and it must come. And so that's the thing that's going to change our world here. It's going to position us. Those rules, those guidelines are going to be the same that we follow when we move out of here and move into next door. Whenever that is. But if you can't get that working now, consistently, you'll fail next door. It'll just be bigger and more responsibility. See, but it's not harder. You just have gotten something working. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. We're overcomers through Christ Jesus. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we can do all things in faith that works by our love for God and by the love of God in us. How many overcomers do we have? How many, you know, we all face discouragements. But the Holy Ghost is saying, don't give up. Don't let conditions work at your hope. Don't get discouraged. Don't let that cool that, your expectation. You might have been waiting a long time. But the Scripture says that you shall reap in due season if you do what? Faint not. Don't give up hope. He is... What does the Scripture say in Hebrews 3? verse 1, it says, he is the apostle and high priest over his confession, his profession. It says our profession. So we've got to profess the word of God. We've got to maintain it. And he will see that it comes to pass. He will fulfill his word. It shall not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what he said it'll do. Amen? Don't give up hope. Don't let it go. Keep expecting. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us of your word. Thank you that we are overcomers. Thank you for direction and guidance. Father, if we lack wisdom in any area, if we've gotten off track, we repent and we look to you for guidance. And we expect it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes, how many have felt like this sometimes? You feel like the Israelites with your back to the Red Sea. You've got your back to the sea and you got Pharaoh bearing down. Anybody ever felt like that? Yeah. You feel squeezed. But this is the victory that overcometh that, even our faith. And if I know I'm being directed by him in the direction that I'm supposed to be, I'm in the place I'm supposed to be, I'm doing the things I'm supposed to be, I'm releasing the words that I'm supposed to be releasing, he will open up a way. He will open a way. He will make a way. And his word is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Oh, Pastor Sarah's mic.
Pastor Ed, Kyle and I went down to Philadelphia this week to see Uncle Moses and Aunt Ruby. He's 92 now, and she's 82. And by the way, he sent his love to all of you. And one of the nights in the hotel, I was dreaming. Kyle always asked me in the morning, and so does Rose, did you dream of anything last night?
Did you do what?
Did you dream anything?
Oh, dream anything. Okay.
Thing last night. And I said, well, yes, I did. And I said, and if I didn't know it was of God, it would frighten the daylights out of me. And he said, what was it? I said, I got involved in something that God wanted us to do. Something we were building. And I says, and the figure was $100 million. And I said, when I woke up and began to talk about it, I said, Lord, I don't even know if I have the faith right now to believe for $100 million. And he corrected me, and he said, it won't take any more faith than it took to believe for Redeemer Love Christian Center facility. So just keep your faith intact. And if I tell you $100 million, then you start believing for $100 million. And, of course, immediately I wanted to start thinking about how could I approach that? How can I, who can I talk to? Who has, and how many people would I have to get involved in that? And he said, just use the same kind of faith that you did to get the Nanuet facility. And that was just your plain little old faith. He said, that's what moves me, not the people. He says, if I want people involved in it, I'll tell them. You don't have to do anything. I said, okay, Lord, I can handle that. So I told Kyle, and I confessed for the possibility, for the fact that I thought I would have to market it myself or prove to other people why it was necessary. God said, no.
See, we don't have
Let
to do
me
anything.
Be your source.
We don't, God uses us. He will start like with this. You know, the Lord has been putting in our hearts, you know, there have been people that have come by here and put things on the table and said, you know, we'd like to buy this place, you know, here's our offer. And if anybody ever see that cartoon that the thing is laughing and say, you got to be kidding me, right? So something like that, you know, you don't want to do, you don't want to be rude, but you just go,
yeah,
right. You know, Bill Cosby, what does he say? Right. Yeah. So offers are going to come, but you got to know what the right offer is. And what do they say in real estate? What do they say in real estate? Okay, for the rest of you, what do they say in real estate? Right. Location, location, location. And people that put offers on your desk know that. They know location is everything. So if you're not led, you could jump at the first thing that has a whole lot of zeros, and then they'll turn around and make something out of it. Oh no. God is going to send somebody to buy this place with a whole lot of zeros. And it's going to be the right thing. And God is looking, you know, and God has been speaking. We don't talk about it. I think we did share at one point that God has put in our heart, this was about a year ago, I was walking up this back aisle, and the Lord said, I want you to start believing me for a jet airplane for the ministry. And I said, okay. You know, I'm getting beyond what do we need that for. I'm getting past that. Because when he first started saying, call in the mall, my first thought was, what do we need that for? But then he had to bring me to Dr. Price's prophecy that was given here in 1990 that said, you're not staying here. And I forgot about that prophecy. That was a public prophecy here. You're not staying in this building because the people I'm bringing won't fit in here. And in 1985, Brother Copeland prophesied pretty much the same thing. So prophecy after prophecy have been given. So I can have faith, not only in the Word of God, but faith in prophetic utterances to this ministry, that when he comes along and says, I want you to call that in, I can look at all of these signposts that have been given and say, yes, sir, and expect it to come to pass. And even if we go and move upon, you know, if it took another 30 years and we ain't alive, it's coming to pass. It will come to pass, just as the Lord said. And so real estate, God has given us this place and has been debt-free since 1987. And this place has escalated in value way out beyond what you could even... This property, this 18 acres, was purchased originally for $2 million. That was I don't want to say laughable at that time, but that was a bargain back then, even back then. Well, today, you look at the corporations that are looking for land right next to a major mall. Ha! God is about to do something major to propel us. And if we just stay steady, if we just stay steady and hold steady, keep speaking, trusting, don't get discouraged because of what we see and conditions and people not being here. Ha! He said, I'll bring them. I'll bring them. We just keep doing what he tells us to do. Keep sowing where we're supposed to sow. Keep worshiping him. Keep loving him. That's what Brother Copeland said. He said, you think that church in Seoul, Korea is so big, over a million people. He said, I'll do that here if you'll let me. Don't seek the biggest church, just seek me. Fall in love with Jesus. Because when you fall in love with him, you'll love people. You'll have compassion for people, and he'll bring the people, and he'll make the space. I'm telling you, all the things that Pastor Sarah and Clinton dreamed of, things that God showed them early on in the ministry, Pastor Clinton's going to see it from heaven. And if Jesus tarries, Pastor Sarah may see them. I may see them. I don't know. But they're going to come to pass. And it's going to be so big. That's what Brother Copeland said. If he showed it, it's so big, you'd say, not so, Lord. Oh, yes. There's going to be a Bible college. We ain't announced that, but I'm telling you, there's going to be a Bible college. There's going to be many things that just haven't been announced and pronounced. We knew it. We were waiting on, we're waiting on God right now. And that property is going to house the Spirit Center for the nations. And it's going to come to pass. We just got to stay steady. And God told me almost 20 years ago, when Pastor Clinton was alive, he said, I will bring the singers and musicians. He's bringing them. He's bringing all everything we need. Everything we need is coming. It's coming. It's coming.
The Lord has also been speaking to me about, he says, do you realize where this property that we're in, is sitting you right in the middle of three major
three major highways.
Yes. He said, somebody's going to come along and recognize that not only are you next door to the Nanuet, shops at Nanuet, but you are at the Garden State Parkway, the New York State Thruway,
Palisades,
and the Palisades Parkway.
Yeah.
And he said, they're going to be so glad that they're near you.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about what their attraction is going to do.
Right.
He says, because I planted you there
yeah.
in the middle of three major highways.
Yeah.
And I'll take it from there. Well, that's what Kenneth Copeland said.
Yeah.
Was that in 1953? 1993?
Somewhere in that.
2005, whatever year that was. I don't remember.
That was
05.
05 or 03 that he prophesied that.
05, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's 05.
So he says, I planted you in the middle of a triangle with all roads leading to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
Right.
So now you just have to let me do what I promised that I would do. And you just have to make the right confessions and make sure that you don't change your confidence.
He says, right.
You know enough about hope now and faith. You know, that you could believe for the world to turn upside down if you wanted it.
Right.
He said, when you believed for this place, you didn't even hardly know what faith was all about.
Right.
He says, and you got it with no effort at all. And he says, now you've been taught faith.
Yeah.
And it's in your spirit. And so you know the principles. And since he said to me years ago, Those that are the sons and daughters, my sons and daughters, will be led by their spirit. And so that's all I look for now is when somebody asks me to do something or wants me to do something, I'll say, well, let me pray about it and see what I get in my spirit. Because that's all I want. I want God to say yes or no or go or don't go. And I'm going to do exactly what he says, because that's why we're in this facility now. Every time I come in that driveway and I realize that 26 years ago, he had me to come up here and drive around this property and call it into the ministry. I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever been asked to do, but I didn't tell God that. I knew he knew it already. But I did it from August until December, every day except Saturday and Sunday, Monday through Friday. I left home at 8 o'clock in the morning, drove up here and rode around this property, and was back in my office in Hackensack by 9 o'clock. And he said, just watch me. He says, because I told you through Kenneth Copeland that you weren't going to have to do it. And that's what I'm resting in right now. So $100 million really doesn't frighten me. That's a lot of money. But it doesn't frighten me because I know that I don't have to do it. I did my part. That was learn faith.
Yep.
Okay?
That's right.
All I have to do. And now that I've learned it, I'm going to apply it.
Yep.
But I don't have to make it happen.
Yep. We don't have to make it happen. And no. And here's the thing. Always remember this. We're tools in the master's hands. So none of us can take credit. You know, even when, you know, sometimes we say, well, I spoke to this and I spoke to this. Don't ever get the lame brain idea that you think that it was your confession, just your confession, that made that happen. Because that's stupidity. Because there's people that God, I'm thinking about when Pastor Sarah said the Lord prompted her to come up here, I'm thinking about the years that a brother that he's since now moved to another ministry, but we worked together down on the 20th. I was on the 20th floor for the utility company, and we both were. And that building down on Blue Hill was empty. And back in the 70s, we would go down on an empty floor that was 40-some thousand square feet. And we'd pray at the top of our lungs in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues for our lunch half hour. And we could see this area over here. And I remember one day he said, the Lord just told me there's a worldwide ministry going to be raised up over here. So that's what I'm talking about. That God uses the body as he sees fit. So he used Pastor Sarah to start releasing words. But we don't know how many people were all part of that process. We're just yielded vessels. That's all we are. Amen. Glory to God.